Okay, population sampling frame versus purposive sampling frame. The sampling frame is the list of members of the target population the researcher starts with. Sometimes it is in paper, but it's some way of contacting everybody. A population sampling frame includes the entire population. It's really infrequent. About the only time you have a population sampling frame is when the population is defined by a list. So like a membership of some type. There's a list. Now, the list may be temporally out of whack a little bit, but on average, your best shot at a population sampling frame is when the entire population is on a list, because it's membership defined by being on the list. A purposive sampling frame is anything else. The problem with the term purposive sampling frame is that it assumes something. A purposive sampling frame means that you went to that group of people on purpose because you have some reason to believe that they are representative of your target population. That's the intent. You actually say to yourself, that's who I want. It's not everybody I want, but they're going to do a nice job of representing. For years and years, the most representative group on a college campus was English classes, because everybody took the same writing classes. Over the years, two things have changed. Not everybody takes writing classes from English. More and more often, other disciplines teach their own writing classes. And more people take psychology. So the most crossed group that you can get right now seems to be an intro psych class. So if you're trying to represent college students, you go to an intro psych class, but you know you're peeling off the bottom 2 years, not so much the juniors and seniors. But it's purposive. You will sometimes hear the terms accidental or convenience. An accidental or convenient sample is a purposive sample without the on purpose. It's whoever the hell I can get. And I'm not even going to give that a place in my taxonomy. I'm going to assume that you either have a complete sampling frame or you have some decent reason for going after who you went over. That's what I hope for you. All right. 20 students drawn from this class to represent university students. Is this a complete population or is this purposive? Purposive. 20 students from this class to represent this class. Population is this class. Sample frame is this class. How are we doing? As good as we can. The population is defined by a list. We are drawing from that list. It doesn't get better than that. 20 students drawn from the various 350 classes offered this semester to represent this semester's 350 students. Everybody's a little gun shy right now. That's complete population because we're sampling from this semester to represent this semester. Same sampling frame, 20 students sampled from the various 350 classes this semester to represent all 350 students ever. Purposive. Temporally purposive as opposed to geographically purposive. You with me? And temporal purposivity is always an issue. If that population is changing, then you've got a temporal social issue in your external validity. 20 students drawn from this class to represent young adults. We don't have all young adults in here. And we have some in here who aren't young adults. So you got to be careful. You really want to draw the distinction between purposive on the one hand and accidental and convenience on the other. Accidental and convenience samples are the least attractive because why do you have them? Because I could. If you have a complete population sampling frame, you have to provide a very careful description of your sample so that you can show that your sampling worked. You can't guarantee the sampling worked just because you start with a population sampling frame. If you don't have a population sampling frame, then you have, some would argue, an even greater responsibility to represent who you have data from, so that the people reading your article know what we have and how far they feel like pushing it. Accidental and convenient samples have an even greater obligation to be absolutely complete in the characterization of who you get. Because you might have a sample that looks really good on three or four variables and really crap on three or four others. It's all about honesty. External validity requires honesty and fussing. Second decision, researcher selected versus self-selected. Researcher selected means I look at that sampling frame and I pick individuals, usually at random. I pick individuals, researcher sampled. As opposed to, I take the sampling frame and I invite everybody in the sampling frame and they self-select. The difference is about individual selection versus individual self-selection. Okay, do I invite them? Do I invite them one at a time? Though, lots of them. Or do I invite everybody and let them self-select? Frankly, the difference between these two varies dramatically across research areas, so much so that I'm not saying a damn word. You need to know whether this distinction is important to your research community. Because some, not at all. Others, oof-da. So you gotta know. You gotta know. Geez, Cal, are you gonna teach stuff or just lump shit on our heads? Both. Yes, dear. If they are saying to themselves, oh, this one's cute, I like this one, this one's close, this one's funky, yes. But I said that typically that process is random. I might cut the list into strips and draw at random. I might put it into a computer program. But yes, we have to ask, how did you get from the sampling frame to the selected sample? And we might or might not like that. You're exactly right. Go ahead.
There are a few bunch of studies in communication sciences and disorders which say which specifies a list of inclusion and exclusion for participants.
Yep.
And the researcher gets to pick it, right? Is it the right way of doing it, or is there a bias again in this method of selecting our participants?
I wouldn't call that bias. Let me finish. It is. I wouldn't call it bias. I would call the choices a researcher made to define their population and tell you how they got their sample. Now, it might be who you intended as the reader, at which point it doesn't seem biased at all. Or it might be only some of those that you care about, at which point, who's the idiot, why the bias? Our job is to look at how they did it so we can decide if we like it or not. Words in the middle should emphasize description rather than evaluation. Well, that's a bias sample. That's a sample that doesn't have this. And the person says, you're right, couldn't find any, didn't want to pretend I was going to. Yep, we are limited to not them. Okay? So I will counsel you against pejorative words. Bias will piss off anybody. I can't claim any sort of research or personal bias on you and make you smile, unless it's maybe ice cream. Okay? So be careful, even when you're grilling somebody, even when they're being recalcitrant as to being complete, go after the description. Thanks. Nice setup. All right. 40 folks are selected from the Lancaster County voter registration rolls and each contacted to participate. Researcher or self?
Researcher.
Research announcements and invitations are mailed to 12,000 people on the voter registration rolls. Awesome. Psych 181 research participant website was used to recruit 100 participants.
Self.
What's my sampling frame?
Policy.
I know, we say this shit, then we have to actually use it. The sampling frame is whoever saw the website, whoever saw the invitation. Not just everybody who might have in my wildest fantasies seen the website and the invitation, but who actually saw it. So I don't actually have a list. What I have is an access point, which is the website. How well we do may depend upon how well we successfully advertise. Go there and decide if you want to play or not. Yes?
This might be kind of specific, but
cool.
If you had like a registry,
uh-huh,
and people were saying like, I would be interested, but then you're the one that makes the contact of like, okay, I'm going to pick this person, would that be research?
Yes, because what you're talking about on the registry is the sampling frame. My sampling frame was constructed on purpose by asking who would want to be a part of this sort of research. Most community samples are drawn from a sampling frame where we ask people, do you think you might want to? You with me? So there, the easy part is that we had researcher selection. The questionable part is how effectively purposive was the choice of those people. We good? Great question. Harris Labs selected 30 folks who had previously been research participants and who had indicated their interest in further participation to be part of the latest study.
Researcher.
I got a list of people who said, put me on a list. And I said, these 30. Using the 181 grade roster, 200 research participants were selected.
Researchers.
All right, check this one. Advertisement for Harris Labs research that required non-smokers aged 21 to 39 printed in a local newspaper.
Self-selected.
Self-selected. What's the sampling frame?
Anyone who saw that.
Non-smokers 21 to 39 that saw the ad. When I was in graduate school, we had an opportunity to do some work with the marketing and advertising departments with one of the local newspapers. It's back when we had newspapers. And what we did is we varied the job that was being advertised for and where the job ad was placed in the newspaper. And then we called those people, said, thanks for calling. This is a research study. If you do the questionnaire, we'll send you 10 bucks. This is 1980s dollars. And we got lots and lots of people. But one of the things we discovered is massively different versions of the target population depending upon what part of the newspaper the ad was in. The Sunday supplement drew a very different audience than the business section, than the ads. I could go on. But the idea is you need to know what's the sampling frame, because this is, well, who saw that newspaper? How local is that newspaper? How many people read it? And that's all well and good, describing your purposiveness, your intentionality. But who did you actually sample and describe the bejesus out of them so that I know who we've learned about and how far we can push it? And the last, simple sampling versus stratified sampling. Simple sampling is the classic definition of sampling. Every member of the sampling frame, notice, please, sampling frame, not population. We're not making any claims about drawing from the population because you don't draw from the population. You draw from a sampling frame. And I will bet you, dollars to donuts, as my grandma would say, that your sampling frame doesn't have everybody in the population. So you don't have access to everybody. So we're talking about every member of the sampling frame has an equal probability of being in the study. Now let's think about what simple sampling implies. Simple sampling implies that you have enough homogeneity in your population that any subgroup of them ought to be nearly equally representative as any other subgroup. Whoa. Even a small sampling. So any 20 is going to give me the same look as any other 20? Damn, that's tough. That's hard. I'm not sure. And once again, you see a trade-off between bestest and easiest. Population sampling frame, bestest. Purposive sampling frame, easier. Accidental, whoa, I'll just go grab some folks. Researcher selected versus self-selected. Self-selected's easier. If your sampling frame's good, if the way you invite it is good. Because remember, the invitation process helps define the sampling frame in a self-selected. And now we come to this. Do you really believe that any 20 are about as good as any other 20? Do you have that much homogeneity? One of the things that I hope we will do is some summer you will spend some time with me as we take a tour of multivariate exploratory techniques. And one of the ones that we will emphasize is a thing called cluster analysis. The purpose of cluster analysis is to recognize that almost any group is not homogeneous, that there are subgroups, meaningfully different subgroups, and those subgroups differ on univariate, bivariate, or multivariate ways from each other. Stratified sampling means that, first of all, we have to know what strata we care about. What are the defining characteristics of heterogeneity in our population? Then, that's hard, particularly hard to get agreement. This is why you go understand what your research community expects. Then, we have to know those variables about everybody in my sampling frame. That gets expensive quick. So that I can select members from the strata. And strata typically multivariately defined. So I've got four or five variables that characterize the population that I care about. We need to have some idea of how often all those different combinations happen, and we have to go find people. It's tough. It's tough. Yes.
So was that researcher selected in that way?
That can be either. These are separable things. I can go to somebody and I can get all the data anybody will give me and get those defining variables, and then from that set, identify people in the different strata and select them in. In other words, we might have a two-stage sampling process where I get data from everybody I can, and then from them, based on those describing attributes, pull the people I'm going to go get my primary data from. That's becoming more and more common because it's hard to have the stratified variables ahead of time. So you see a lot of two-stage sampling more and more commonly. Great question. So, let's play. We chose 40 science majors, 40 business majors, 40 engineering majors, and 40 education majors from the roles of the campus student organization. Simple or stratified? The idea is it's hard to hide stratification. I have to tell you what my strata are and that we chose from each of them. That's what you're looking for. It's really hard to hide the process of stratification. We chose 100 folks from the registrar student list. Our participants were the first 40 folks who responded to the research participation advertisement. After we had 50 science major and 35 business major volunteers, we changed the sign-up sheet to read business majors only. What was it at first? And then it became
stratified.
Okay? Variable change theory. Careful. Let me read both of these. See, I'll let you know when it's a hook. I'm about to change the color. Our intention was that the 200 students selected from the Psych 181 course roster would be 70% arts and sciences and 30% others. Versus, we sorted the course roster into those from the College of Arts and Sciences versus other college, chose 70 of the former and 30 of the latter. Which of those is stratified? Stratification is a process. It's not a hope, and it's not a result. It's a process. You only get credit for the processes you engage. You don't get credit for shit happening the way you hoped it would. But I want credit for my luck. So do I. So we'll start here on Friday and finish up the external validity. If The idea is that we've got eight basic variations in the three decisions. Population versus purposive sampling, researcher versus self-selected, simple versus stratified. How do we feel about these different combinations? Keeping in mind that we can talk about how we feel about them relatively, how we feel about them absolutely is going to be tied to your research community standards.